tragic accident changed the course of his life forever. For most, it would have begun a life of discontent and wallowing around in self-misery. For Jonathan Nadeau, it kickstarted a new chapter of inspiration and appreciation. Even though he lost his sight permanently, he gained a passion to put creativity first in all areas of his life. And now, he wants to encourage you to do the same. There are times when you'll be faced with a choice. Be crushed by the weight of the situation, or use the fresh start to rebound bigger, better, and more inspired than ever before. This is Tornado, stories of those who refuse to choose defeat and instead chose to embrace the storm. Here's your host, Jonathan Nadeau.
Greetings and salutations. My name's Jonathan Nadeau, with you as always here at Embrace Your Storm. We got a couple of show note things here before we get to the episode. We have the Tornado Music and Film Festival coming up August 27th. There'll be show notes in that coming up. And then one new thing is we're on Amazon Smile. So if you join smile.amazon.com, you can choose Tornado as the charity to choose and then go on shopping like you normally do. Nothing changes. And Jeff himself will send his money to Tornado due to how much you shop. So we would appreciate that. There'll be a link in the show notes. And I need to get to this interview because this is an honor and a privilege. And so today I have on Kane Hodder. He really doesn't need any more introduction than that. So Kane, thank you so much for coming on. And I really appreciate your time. Thank you. Thank you so much. So Kane, everyone knows a lot about you, but there's some specific stuff I want to get to that we were able to talk to a little bit before the interview. So
No incarceration.
So the one thing that I find fascinating is where I you know, I believe your career began, and you probably do, is I heard you talking about when you're in high school that you just loved to like terrify your friends. And when I say terrify, it's not like jump out of the corner and scare them, or, you know, maybe jump out of a tree or something. Like, I mean, just really scare the bejesus out of them. And you got much pleasure out of that. And
I sure did. It was the highlight of my day to scare one of my friends. And like you said, not startle them, but make them think, oh my God, this guy's crazy and he's going to die. Like,
right. Like you would push it to the nth degree when you would do it.
I did. And it was all for my own benefit, really. I just found it so entertaining when, for instance, I would hang off the balcony of a 35 floor hotel with my friends on the balcony. I'm on the outside of the balcony hanging on, letting go with both my hands and then grabbing on again just to watch their reaction. Because I've never, even as a kid, I never had any kind of fear of heights. Mm. And I always found it funny that so many people were terrified of heights. So, of course, being the asshole that I am, I would just exploit that fear and make myself laugh.
That's actually even funnier now that I know kind of like more of the deeper answer to that story. That's so now for you, when you're hanging off the edge, like you're not scared. It doesn't bother you.
No, not right. At all.
And so when you're seeing them being terrified, that's kind of fueling you doing what you're doing.
Oh, for sure. and laughing at the same time. And half of them, this was my teammates from the basketball team from high school.
Yeah.
We went from the island we lived on to Hawaii to play a couple of Hawaiian high schools. And that's why we're at that hotel. And to watch some of them look at me and then get so scared, they ran back in the building.
Wow.
And eventually there's nobody on the balcony except me on the outside. I climb back over laughing my ass off and go to find them. And of course, I don't let them off easy. I, I'm sure they knew that I thought they were kind of bitches for being so nervous. A couple of them still talk about that.
Oh, I would imagine. Like, I'm sure you left an imprint in their mind for sure. You know, like,
You know, what's also interesting is that not only did I never have a fear of heights, but as you know, Jonathan, I got burned back in 1977 in my first year of doing stunts for film.
Oh, man.
And burned badly, half my body, third degree, lots of skin grafts, 5.5 months in the hospital, all that stuff. And even with that, I never had a fear of fire after that, and continued doing fire stunts, this, you know, a little differently than I did that one, but I'd have proper safety precautions in place where, you know, that's the tough thing is when you're young in the stunt business, you're all gung-ho and you tend to not worry about safety as much as you should.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Makes the stunt look great, and you don't take every single precaution as you do once you've been around for a while and become a veteran, saying, look, I probably don't need to do this, but why not do it just in case? And so then you get a little smarter. And most people that are killed as stunt people are killed early in their career because of reasons of like that.
Yeah, yeah. And that's actually what the question I was going to understand is, you know, when you got burned like that, obviously you had some downtime, you know, skin grafts and all that. I was going to ask, like, what was kind of the thing that you learned from it? But I mean, you just basically kind of said it, like, you know, I should have just been more careful. Like, that's where you kind of took away from it.
What it is, it's a fine line to walk in the stunt business where you want everything to look as dramatic as possible because that keeps you working.
Right.
But also not compromising safety as much.
Sure.
So, you know, it's tough because if you're too safe, then most of your stunt activity doesn't look that dramatic.
Right.
So it's a tough situation, but I always enjoyed that challenge, you know.
What was some of your favorite stunts that you did?
Some of them,
people or whatever.
Yeah. Oddly enough, some of my favorite stunts that I've done in my career are the fire ones.
Oh, really?
Where, like, for instance, I did a full burn where you're on fire head to toe as Jason in Part 7 in my first Friday the 13th movie. And that, to this date, is still my favorite fire stunt I've done.
What do you have to do to prepare for that to, like, be – because, I mean, you prepare for that. Like, what are you wearing? Like, what do you have to –
Yeah, there's all kinds of different layers put on, and the fuel is important. That's what burned me when I did get burned, was I used a different fuel and didn't test it ahead of time, which is pretty stupid, really. But I didn't think it was necessary. I thought we used to use rubber cement. We still do a lot because it burns so orange. It looks fantastic when it's on you. But I use rubber cement, and I don't know if you know this part, but the day before I got burned, I had done the same fire stunt with the same reporter.
Mm.
And when I saw the pictures of it, I didn't like how it looked because it was too windy. So it was blowing the fire down and it didn't look as dramatic.
Okay.
And this is how
So
ironic things are. But it was windy because I was 6 feet from a lake.
Mm.
Because of the water being there, the wind was too much. So we went out the next day to do the stunt again. I didn't have any more rubber cement, so I had her bring some. I didn't test it, and it was far more volatile.
Oh, it was like a different brand or kind. Yeah.
And I was in the desert now.
Oh, no.
If I had gotten out of control on fire the previous day, I would have jumped in the lake and barely burned.
Right.
But this time, you know, the powers that be thought, let's burn him up out in the desert where he can't get himself put out. So,
lesson learned, right? Like, you know, is why I think someone had told me you wear gloves a lot. Is that why you wear gloves a lot? They said they kind of.
Well, I mean, I do wear gloves when I'm doing signings, and it's only because I don't mind people seeing my scars because I got scars over half my body. But when I'm signing something, people are looking at what I'm signing. And I used to get the question so many times, what happened to your hands?
Right.
And I don't mind talking about it. But when it's so often, I started wearing gloves. And even though my whole arms are burned, nobody ever asks anymore. So
I'm guessing because you're bringing attention to your hands.
Yeah. So, yeah. And now it's my kind of my signature. People are used to seeing it. So,
yeah. Someone mentioned to me.
There's a lot of scratching again.
Have you done any like car stunts or like, you know, driving fast and smashing cars or whatever?
Oh,
like
many.
Okay.
Yeah. Would be my second favorite part of stunts.
Okay.
Is car stuff. I used to, oh my God, I used to work on Dukes of Hazzard.
No kidding.
Doing driving, all kinds of big action movies like Enemy of the State.
And that's cool.
Lethal Weapon 3, I think it was, or 4, 3 or 4. Demolition Man, you know.
Did you do anything terrifying when you were, you know, younger as a kid with your driver's license, with your friends? Like, would you ever put like, not, I wouldn't say them in danger, but would you do terrifying?
Yes, I would. I put them in danger for my own entertainment. Yeah.
Hey, at least you're honest. I didn't want to go down that road in case.
But... People know I'm not right in the head. So.
That's funny. But hey, they kept hanging out with you, man. So
that's right.
And you know why? Because you're entertaining, because you're scaring the crap out of them. You know?
Because I'm not boring. That's for sure.
That is so funny. Hey, circling back around to kind of like your burn, you know, when you got burned. Well, not when you got burned, but one thing that I also noticed is you were at a, it might have been like a, I don't know if it was necessarily like a burn victim. Yeah, it was like a burn victim unit in like a hospital somewhere, and you were doing an interview. And what I like to talk about this more is, you know, when you're at this thing and you're talking, you're just like, you know, if it wasn't for me getting this part of Jason and being, you know, having this role and being a part of this, I wouldn't be able to do this here, what I'm doing now. And I'm assuming you're kind of waving your arms around, you know, being like, you know, being able to do this burn victim stuff. And I love that you acknowledged and recognized that, hey, you know, this can be used for some good stuff. And obviously you were affected by it, so that's closer to home for you. But I just really appreciated that you, I don't want, like, it's not taking advantage or whatever, but you're using the where you are and the platform in life where you are for some good.
Making the best out of a situation is how I look at it.
Totally. You know? Totally.
I'd still be able to volunteer at burn units. And just so you know, the preferred term is burnt survivor.
Burnt survivor. Okay. Burnt survivor.
Because we you know, people feel like, you were a victim, but now you survived. So
right. Okay. Okay.
But anyway, you know, I'd be able to do the burn unit thing to help current patients just because I know how valuable it is to have somebody talk to you that's been through it.
Totally.
So the point being, like when I was in the burn unit, for instance, I don't know if you've ever heard this quick story, but
no, I haven't.
I was in the burn unit and, you know, with an injury like this, I have no idea how it is to deal with what you've been through.
Yeah.
For me, I ended up with quite a bit of PTSD issues.
I can imagine.
And while I was in the burn unit and, you know, 5.5 months, which is way too long for.
I was only in the hospital for a month and a half. So you were in way longer than me.
5.5 months for 50% burns.
Wow. You know, I didn't realize it was that much.
Normally, like what I was going to lead up to was I was very depressed after like 4 months in the hospital and not really healing that well and going through a lot of mind stuff because I was 22 and
I didn't realize you're that young. So, wow. Yeah.
And so I'm kind of bummed out and depressed. And I see, you know, in a burn unit, all of the patients' rooms have windows to the nurse's station so that the nurses at all times from the nurse's station can look at each patient and make sure everything's okay. Mm. So there's windows there.
Okay.
And I'm in my bed, depressed as hell, in ridiculous amount of pain. And I see a guy come in that's all, you know, gowned up and everything because you have to do that in the burn unit. It's a self-contained sterile unit. And he comes in and he's talking to the nurses and I'm just watching him from my bed and he's joking around and laughing his ass off and having a good old time. And I'm looking at him saying, fuck you, you lucky motherfucker. You don't know anything about what I'm going through. and you're all happy and I'm not, you know, so I got a little bitter.
Totally.
And then I looked at him closer and I saw he doesn't have any fingers on either hand. And then I saw, because he had a hairnet and a mask on, then I realized he was severely burned.
Okay.
And had been a patient in that burn unit. He was burned 90%. He worked for the gas company and a gas line exploded on him.
Oh my goodness.
90%. He was in the hospital for, you know, 8 months or something in that same unit. And he came back to visit the staff like we all do.
Yeah, yeah.
We like to show off how, you know, we're doing. So it makes us feel good to come back, see the staff, and they, oh, wow, you look great, all that. And that turned me around without even talking to the guy at the time. You know, I just said, wait a minute, he's worse off. He was worse off than me, and he looks fucking happy, and he's laughing. And I was like, is that possible to get through this and be happy with your life again? And he completely turned me around and never knew it.
I told that story actually.
Yes.
Yeah. At 22 too, it's I had not the same sort of realization, but you know, it's good that we came to our realizations the way we did, and we kind of came out of our stuff the way we did. You know.
Oh yeah.
Because you could choose the different path for sure.
And people do often, yeah. And you can't really blame them necessarily. It's more admirable when you can get through it, but unless you've been through something fucking horrible like this, and sorry about my language.
No problem.
Okay.
No problem.
Unless you've been through something really, really bad, you can't imagine that you might get to the point of saying, this is not worth it anymore.
That's, it's seriously, it's very true. It again, having someone going through a, you know, pretty traumatic, it's really true. Like, yeah. When you hear people say like, oh, I don't know why they don't get over it, it's like, you don't understand.
Yeah.
You know, like it, some people
get, just deal with it. But yeah.
That's an amazing story. So
here's another interesting little tidbit. November 2nd this past.
Yeah.
I had a heart attack.
No kidding.
So, my goodness. Man, you know, and everything is good.
Yeah.
And everything was fixed and all is good. And it's been, you know, whatever, 7-8 months. It's just yet another hurdle to overcome, you know. So that's why people say I'm hard to kill.
There you go. Always coming back around. Yeah. One other thing that I've had the time that I want to bring up too that I saw was interesting. You know, having been in the industry, I thought this was cool. I didn't know this, like, you actually took part in this project. It was like a, you know, more of a technology thing where you had like the synaptic feedback stuff set up, you know, hooked up to your body and everything to trace like your movements in a video game. Like, what was that like experience like for you? Like, to be sort of doing that and being like, wow, like I'm the model for the movement of this like character in a game. Like,
right.
Like, what was that like?
Well, and it was my character.
Right, right.
Jason in the Friday the 13th video game, and the term is motion capture, and the company that was doing the game basically insisted that they thought I should do the motion capture for Jason. Hmm. Because fans enjoy how I played the character and stuff, and they thought gamers would respond to the same type of performance, because let's face it, you know, it's animation, so it really didn't have to be me. But I was just very happy that they thought it should. And it's a strange situation that you're in because of what you're wearing. You're wearing spandex with sensors everywhere and on a gridwork floor. And, you know, there's no kind of set. There's no makeup. There's no wardrobe, nothing. But it was still easy because it was my character. So I felt right at home doing the scenes, even though it didn't look the same. It wasn't that hard to get used to. And now, I don't know if you know, but we're doing a new game, the same company. And along with the Friday the 13th game, we are now doing a Texas Chainsaw Massacre game. And I'm doing the motion capture for Leatherface. So It's fun to be back on the motion capture stage.
Absolutely. I think I'm figuring out. I feel like the horror industry pushes the envelope as far as like when it comes to the production or the performance of like the film or whatever itself. Like you really push the envelope when it comes to like technology, cinematography, like, you know, effects, all kinds of stuff like that, honestly. It's cool. Yeah, and one other thing, Kane, I'd like to circle back around to. One last thing I'd like to ask, okay. Kind of like the burn unit. Like, when you visit people, do you have conversations? Like, I don't, you know, how badly you're burnt, like maybe on your face or your arms or whatever, but do you deal with people being like, well, no one's ever going to look at me the same or whatever? And like, do you kind of come back being like, hey, look at me, I'm you know, I'm in movies and I'm burnt, you know, or whatever? Like, do you come, you know, talk to people that way or have conversations?
Oh, yeah. I mean, not blatantly like that.
Well, yeah, I'm being haters.
Right. I do know that, first of all, several times I have asked to see someone in a burn unit because of their age or whatever. I think I could help them. And I'll kind of get met with, yeah, they're not really into it. They're kind of like depressed right now and they don't really want to talk to anybody. And then they'll mention about the Jason thing and all of a sudden that'll swing the
momentum
in the other direction so that they say, wait a minute, he's a burn survivor and he does the movies I like? Maybe I will talk to him.
Exactly.
So it kind of tips it a little bit in the favor. Not that that's the most important thing, certainly, but it's another aspect to me coming in and talking to them when we can talk about other things that they and myself have in common, like the horror angle,
exactly,
but also the burns at the same time. So
yeah,
it's just a huge help in getting access to people because I just know how much it helps, and not because of who the character I play or anything, but just because I know how you feel, man. When you are in the burn unit at the time and doctors tell you what to expect or how you should feel, in your mind, you're saying, you don't fucking know. Don't tell me what to expect when you haven't been there. But
yeah, like,
if
you, just because
let
you
me
see
talk
it
to somebody that has, okay.
Yeah. And again, I love the story that you told because you said it yourself. Like, you didn't even talk to this particular guy or anything. He didn't even say anything to you. You just got to see him, and that was enough for you to just be like, all right, like that kind of gave you the one kind of line, you know, silver lining or whatever. And you're like, all right, I actually can turn this around.
Yep. And it came at the perfect time where I was at my most depressed and thinking, okay, now I'm 22 for the rest of my life. I'm going to have people staring at me.
Right.
If I'm at a pool or something because of my scars. And how good is that going to be now that I'm 22, just beginning?
Right. Seriously. Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
And, you know, so you got to get past all of that stuff. And I still carry the PTSD.
I can imagine.
Lingering aspects, you know.
Yeah, I can imagine. Like, is it sort of like not loud sparks or anything, but as if you see fire or anything, is that kind of triggering? Or...
Yeah, nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing at all. If I can still set myself on fire after that, I'm either one stupid motherfucker or I've overcome it.
Well, Kane, I really, really appreciate your time. I thank you so much for opening down these roads and it was great talking with you about these things. And I appreciate your creativity. And you know, that's what we're about here. And it's amazing what you've done with it and the career you've had and what you've done and overcoming even, you know, the burn and you know, probably that really fueled, you know, bad choice of words, but fueled your fire to kind of carry on and
well, it's a good choice of words.
You know, like that, you know,
and I have to tell you, there's not many people that I've ever talked to that I admire what you've been through and how you've handled it. And the fact that you're doing this stuff and helping people with other similar situations get through it. So thank you for doing what you do. And I can't, you know, imagine, just like you can't imagine how it is to burn to death almost.
Right.
Right. I can't imagine losing my sight. So
I hear you.
You know, I think you should be applauded, and I really appreciate you even wanting me to be involved on your show. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Kane. And everyone, I thank you for listening. Don't forget the August 27th is coming up. Don't forget the Amazon thing. And embrace your storm and create something out there. Thank you.
That's right. And make sure you, I'm talking to the fans out there, make sure you listen, watch the show that Jonathan just mentioned, because if you don't, I'll kill you.
Thank you, Kane. That was perfect. That was the best. Thank you so much.
Thanks, man. See ya.
Tornado with Jonathan Nadeau. If you haven't yet, please subscribe now so you're first to hear new episodes with more stories of inspiration about the highs and lows of life and how embracing the storm is so much more fulfilling of a life than being crushed by the weight of the world. And until then, we hope you're inspired to do something, whether it's creating, participating, or learning, whatever leads you to your personal passion.